Control booth, how about the tiny torches time here? Okay. Actually, this is a piece that deals with when I was working here at St. Mark's when I was at Tot, you know. I started coming around here when I was like 16. In time, I started to work here at the Wednesday night readings. Like, in those days, you didn't pay as you came in. You gave a contribution as you went out. So I held a contribution bowl and such. Yeah. Someone like Ferlinghetti came to town. I was straight for 2 weeks. Lately, on Wednesday nights, when the poets read here at St. Mark's Church, they've also been inviting these performance artists to do their acts. This is just another name for the same folks who did happenings in the 60s. By the very definition, performance artists should have a way with an audience. I mean, it's clear by the nature of the medium that their art just don't exist without a crowd. Some of them are ingenious, enlightening, and entertaining as well. Some of them are quite funny, actually, though often that is not their intention. Then again, many of them are wrapped in so many layers of pretense that it would be a performance piece in itself to strip it all away. Well, it's no different from the poets. When it's good, it's great. When it's bad, it's wretched. The former you take home, the latter you leave behind. Actually, I shouldn't knock this genre since I myself was a performance artist once for a day. I was about 17, and the event called for about 20 painters, musicians, and poets to each do a piece no longer than 3 minutes. I remember it was on a Sunday afternoon because I woke up at my friend's apartment, which we referred to as headquarters, the morning of the show, on my knees and hugging porcelain in the bathroom with a cough syrup and beer hangover, and absolutely no idea what to do for my 3 minutes in the spotlight of downtown art. I had already dismissed the idea of boiling a 3-minute egg. It just didn't seem to have the necessary edge. Then, right there in the john, washing the puke from my chin at the bathtub faucet, I saw the answer, a hearty-sized cockroach trying in vain to scale the slick sides of the tub. I dashed into the living room and grabbed a small brown paper bag from among the debris of empty beer bottles and sleeping bodies, then returned and scooped in the insect, shaking him securely into the bottom of the bag, cautiously folding it on top. I had half of my routine, and in the cabinet beneath the kitchen sink, I found the other half, which I threw into a knapsack along with the bag bug. I waited for the others to wake. We smoked some grass, watched the usual Sunday morning cartoons and Wonderama. I split about an hour before the 4 p.m. showtime. I arrived at the gig, which was at a large ground floor space across from Max's Kansas City. Right as things were beginning, the woman who organized the show came over and told me when I'd go on, which turned out to be, fortunately, toward the end. She asked me if I had a title for my event, but I couldn't think of anything offhand. I told her no, I didn't have any name for it. Fine, I'll just introduce you and call your piece Untitled. Well, okay, I could dig that. Things moved along quickly then. The woman in charge introducing each performer and title over the microphone, holding everyone strictly to their 3-minute limit. The place was packed, and since there was no one stage where the pieces were performed, the crowd just moved from one end of the room to the other, gathering around the spot where the action took place. Some of the events were clever, others made the allotted 3 minutes seem endless. There was this musician who subjected everyone to viciously high-pitched tones at a decibel level that had people clapping hands over their ears, grinding their teeth in agony. Some ducked out onto Park Avenue South. I could even feel my roach banging against the walls of the bag, freaked out by the sound. After that, an art critic and mediocre poet covered the windows of the place with long strips of black tape, forming huge X's. Some pompous geek behind me was hailing the wonderful statement it made. "It has a lovely negative capability," he informed his girlfriend. I began laughing so hard, people surrounded me, thinking I was beginning my performance piece. It's true. Then a woman painter did a 3-minute striptease. The stragglers out in the sidewalk scurried back in for that one. When she shimmied off her dress, the only thing she wore beneath it was a huge alarm clock on a garter belt. It sounded off right at the end of 3 minutes. I liked that one. It had precision. I kept checking out my roach to see if he or she, though I believe it was a bull roach, was doing all right. It seemed to be holding up. The organizer came over and told me I was on after the next person. I wandered over to a corner to gather myself together. I was suddenly not only nervous, but totally depressed. I mean, to me, the piece was already done at the moment the concept first came, actually, curled to me in the bathroom at headquarters. I didn't see the point in doing it now in front of all these people. I was satisfied with the way it went down in my head. All the rest was just ego. All the rest was just, as the man said, the madness of art. But I realized I was just playing more head games, justifying an escape because of my stage fright. My theory was no more than an inverted elitism. If I'm not going to shut up, I got to put up. And it was about that time. I ran over to the organizer, who was at the microphone about to announce me. I whispered into her ear that I had changed my mind, that I did indeed have a title for my piece. She stepped back to the mic, and it sounded over the crowd. "Here is Jim Carroll performing his work, Tiny Tortures." I moved to the center of the room, then signaled the people to close in as tight as possible around me to see, reserving only enough space for me to operate. I knelt down in the middle of the circle they had formed and reached into the knapsack placed at my side. I pulled out the paper bag with one hand, then with the other, a can of Raid. I undid slowly the neat folds on top of the bag, then turned it over, gently shook it. Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. The roach landed on his back upon the highly varnished wooden floor. It didn't move. I felt lumps in my throat, lungs, heart, and bowels. If the little fucker had croaked on me, I was up Schitt's Creek, I thought. Then, to my great relief, he flipped over and spun around as if the whole thing had been purposefully done for dramatic effect, as if we'd been rehearsing it for 3.5 months. I quickly raised up the can of deadly spray, and not a moment too soon, he was making a dash for it and moving quick, right toward a sea of expensive dilettante shoes. I cocked the trigger to the can and blasted him in one long barrage. He turned and headed in the other direction, but I laid down a well-timed strategic pattern of quick bursts. He was hit and hit bad, again and again, but he struggled on. Dazed by the malodorous insecticide, he began to move in circles, rallied by the applause of the crowd, whose mood and gestures had suddenly shifted from that of hip supporters of the arts into crazed rednecks in the heat of a cockfight. I kept up my spurts. Pools of the stuff were forming. What an adversary. What a genuine trooper I had picked from the tub that morning. This was the greatest cockroach in the world, I thought. But in the end, no matter how much heart, the tiny roach could not stand up against the savage forces of art, not to mention the active ingredients in Raid. It finally just crumbled in its tiny tracks, its legs sort of just splaying out to the sides. The incredible part is it held on to just under the 3-minute mark before collapsing. God, What a performer, not only endurance, but a sense of timing as well. Of course, I felt compassion for the little vermin, but as far as the event went, things couldn't have gone better. The audience loved it. The following week, in both the East Village Other and the Village Voice, I was signaled out as a stone rave in their reviews of the show. This is true, actually. One referred to the, quote, keen, trenchant commentary which the piece made on urban decay. The other called it a non-verbal demonstration on the horrors of Vietnam. I agree. All that was exactly what flashed through my mind as I bagged the bug in headquarters bathroom that morning. And I might add, there was a large dose of negative capability as well. It just goes to show you how random are our gains in the art trade. Fact is, the only point I was making is the point you get then as now.